Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
My only hope is that the sheriff's department, the sheriff, would be able to respond to these kind of things. And I certainly don't want to believe that any of these things are true. And I would just, ask that, maybe the sheriff would come out and be willing to set the record straight, so there are no misunderstandings in the public, because this is it could certainly shine a poor light on Santa Rosa County.
So the county commission meeting on Thursday, during the public comments, I just hate to name any names, but we had an individual who had previously run for political office came out and made some very, serious allegations against the sheriff's department. And Colton Wright there and Kerry Smith both said, we'd like to know more. But, I had seen some of these allegations before, and I was going to wait and get more information because that's how I like to. I don't like to repeat allegations until there's substance to them. There's a whole bunch of things involved, involving personnel, involving, honesty, involving money. But I figured rather than me telling you about it, I would give a chance to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson to answer the questions or say whatever he wants to say about it. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Sorry that this is what we're doing on a Monday, but you're well aware. So I wanted to give you a chance to address however you want to address this, so that people listen and they want to know.
Yeah, and this is all politically motivated. I mean, that's all it is. And I'm not going to comment at all, because the first meeting in January, I'm going to go in front of the county commission, and hopefully the individual will be there, because I would love to embarrass him in front of everybody. But I will address a couple of things in there. First off, he said, we're stealing money and the budget needs to be examined. Well, what he's too stupid to understand is our budget gets examined every year by a third party out of Tallahassee. A CPA firm out of Tallahassee comes in every year and checks our budget from stem to stern. And in the 9 years I've been sheriff, let me count up all the discrepancies they found. Hold on, let me think. Oh, yeah, zero. None. And it's required by law that we have this done. So him saying his budget needs to be examined, great idea.
Calling for something that's already happening. Got it.
Yeah, duh. So anyways, and there's a couple other things in there. It's either he's running for sheriff against Randy Tiff, because Randy Tiff's going to run for sheriff. Either he's planning on doing it, which would be hilarious, because I think he got like 11 votes for county commission. But if or he's being pushed by somebody else who's running against my chief deputy. So it's all politically motivated. But yeah, the first meeting in January, I'm going to be there. Hopefully he'll be there. And because I have a couple of great surprises, I think it'll be a great show.
All right, well, that's why I wanted to ask, because I knew you'd want to take a chance to respond. And since it's kind of been out in the public now at the meeting, a chance to talk about it.
Yeah.
The other thing that came up in the meeting was Grace McCaffrey, who is a local activist on behalf of the Hispanic community. And she said that because of changes in the law, which the Supreme Court did put a temporary allowance for what she, and I think actually is fairly characterized as a kind of racial profiling, that people based on how they speak, how they look, how they drive, and what they drive and where they work, they are being stopped by ICE and asked to prove that they're citizens or that they're here legally. Santa Rosa County sheriffs, Escambia sheriffs, everybody is cooperating with ICE because of the governor's orders. And I wanted to give you guys a chance to talk about your participation in that, your thoughts on how this is going, clear the air, however you want to address it again.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, we are cooperating 100% with ICE. And, during the Biden administration, I think they said 20 million people came across the border. I mean, 20 million, that's almost, probably 7% of our country. We're assisting ICE. Anytime they call us, we'll assist them. Mostly it's transportation and housing, the inmates. And we get called on a pretty regular basis now. I mean, we have ICE agents in the Panhandle, and they're pretty aggressive at detaining people. And, you know, anytime they call us for transportation or any kind of help, we will be there for them. But we have to do something. I mean, you see it in the news, all the like the truck driver down South Florida, you know, here illegally killed a family. Things like that, it's got to stop. And if we don't do something about it, it's just going to get worse.
You know, the thing that she said is that as many as 50 people who are not here illegally but are either citizens or, you know, have papers properly are getting detained because, you know, their belief is they're getting detained because they're around work sites or farms or they're, you know, Hispanic while driving. And the concern is that that's, you know, that feels wrong as an American. That feels like racial profiling. Can you maybe just talk a little bit about how your officers are? I mean, the worry is that somebody's a Hispanic person is going to be driving down a road in Santa Rosa County, get pulled over for speeding, and then, you know, y'all are going to see that they're Hispanic and call ICE, and they're going to have to prove their citizenship or something like that or get thrown in jail. That's the kind of concern. So,
yeah, that's 100% not happening. If we pull over a Hispanic driver and we go up and we ask for the driver's license, registration, and they provide that, that's not a problem. If we get up there and they don't speak English, they don't have a driver's license, we're going to arrest them for no driver's license. When they get to jail for having no driver's license, yeah, we're going to notify ICE. And ICE will come in and talk to them. And if they determine they came here illegally, ICE will deal with them and it'll be over. But we're not stopping at people because they look Hispanic. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's office is not. I can't speak for ICE. I'm just telling you what we do. But if we catch somebody speeding and they don't have a license, and we're going to take them to jail for that, and then ICE will get called.
So for you, the protocol is everything you were doing 2 years ago, you're doing today. The only difference is that you're cooperating with ICE if people fall into that bucket, essentially, after you've gone through the normal process of having probable cause, getting their driver's license, verifying their insurance, their tags, and all of that kind of stuff.
Correct. I mean, we haven't changed anything other than 2 years ago, we were cooperating with ICE as well. I mean, if we got somebody 2 years ago, we'd still notify ICE, but under the Biden administration, they would never come. They would never deport anybody, never take custody of anybody because they would get in trouble.
Got it.
That's the only change is their procedure and how they do things. They actually respond now.
Very good. We're talking to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Hang on for just a second. Sheriff John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by the Apple Market, the biggest little grocery store on the Gulf Coast. Fresh foods, local charm, friendly faces. That's the Apple Market, 1021 Scenic Highway in Pensacola. Back to rolling accident-free right now, even delay-free. All the roads look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. John, back to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, anything else you want us to know either about those two subjects, what we were talking about a moment ago, or anything else that the agency is doing here at Christmas time, fraud alerts, anything like that that people need to be aware of?
Well, we always have the fraud alerts. Anytime you get a call from anybody saying they're from Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and they're wanting money or they say you have a warrant, ignore it. You can call us directly, and we'll talk to you and explain everything. But we don't call people for money. We don't call people to tell them they have warrants. We don't do any of that stuff. So that's a scam. Same way with bail bond stuff. If you get a call and you're thinking it's going to be a scam, call us before you do anything, and you should be fine.
Oh, the one other thing I did want to ask you about, the license plate obscuring law that I think goes into effect January 1st, right, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Can you just maybe tell people in plain English what they need to do to make sure that they're not going to get in trouble?
Yeah, and, you know, when I say get in trouble, it's not going to be a lot of trouble. It's a non-moving infraction if they get stopped, which means it's no points off their driver's license or anything like that. But, you know, we have a lot better things to do than worry about having something around your license plate. As long as I can read it, I'm not going to pull anybody over for that. But the law basically says that you can't have anything obscuring any part of the license plate, which means those things that go around it that say, you know, Florida Gators or whatever, technically will be illegal. But are you going to get stopped for it? You may. But like I said, it's a non-moving infraction. And frankly, our deputies are way too busy. But, you know, it could happen.
And the way I understood it is that the keys are, as long as you can see the letters and numbers of the plate itself and then the sticker, then basically the expiration sticker and the letters and numbers, then you're good. That's basically the key.
Yeah.
Very good. And which, by the way, I read a thing that says that they're thinking about getting rid of the stickers anyway and going to like a digital-based format. So that might, you know, that might go away in the future too. So that would make everybody's life a little bit simpler. Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson, Sheriff, as always, thank you for the time. Have a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. I'll be out next week, so we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. But we'll definitely look forward to the meeting in January at Santa Rosa County Commission.
Yes, it will be very entertaining.
Very good. 820 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking. Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
ADX Communications isn't just a company name. It's a home to four great radio stations and the area's most robust digital platform. And we're proud of the successes our local business partners have had, trusting our years of marketing experience.
Hey, this is Sean with HQ Barbecue and Off Pond in Pensacola. When our commercials air, we notice an increase in foot traffic, successfully reaching our desired demographic.
Hey, this is Delino with the Food Store on Pine Forge Road in Pensacola. We have advertised with CAT Country 98.7 over the past 10 years because we know radio works and CAT Country reaches our target audience.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's CAT Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today, 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Did you see the story about Pensacola on the CBS News?
No.
This is crazy. I did not even see this happen. A friend of mine who lives out of the state actually sent this to me, but this is really cool.
At the Shrimp Basket Restaurant in Pensacola, Florida, one customer has been a constant. For lunch, he always ordered a cup of gumbo, light on the rice, hold the cracker. And again at dinner, cup of gumbo, light rice, no cracker. It was that every day, twice a day, for 10 years.
Appreciate you.
Chef Donnell Stallworth says you can set your clock by this guy.
Mr. Hicks don't miss no day. When we open the doors up, Mr. Hicks here to greet us.
And so, like, and I'll be honest, I'm not even sure which location this is at. I think maybe Navy Boulevard. I'm not sure. I just based on looking at one of the stock photo, one of the photos that they had. But this is a really wild story.
78-year-old Charlie Hicks was omnipresent until last September, when he wasn't. Didn't show up for several days.
I knew then something was wrong.
Fearing the worst, Donnell left work in the middle of his shift and drove to Charlie's apartment. He knocked on the door, repeatedly, but no answer.
And right when I was going to turn, I heard a voice just like, help! And then I opened the door up. He was laying on the ground, and I didn't know what his conditions was. That was the scariest part right there.
We don't know how long Charlie'd been lying there. Maybe a few days. He was severely dehydrated and had two broken ribs. But thanks to Donnell, he would survive. And thanks to the staff at the Shrimp Basket,
he would never be alone again.
Can you just, holy smokes. I mean,
wow.
I know. And there's more. I'm like, we're only halfway there.
No.
Like, there's more to this.
He started by bringing his gumbo to the hospital. Then they went out and got him a new apartment right next to the restaurant so the employees could always keep a watchful eye. They got Charlie new appliances, fixed up the place just right. Also that this week, 3 months after the accident,
you're late.
Charlie could pick up with his routine right where he left off.
There we go.
He sat back at his favorite table and ordered his favorite dish. Nothing had changed, except their bond.
Just like,
that's amazing.
I know. Here's the last little piece. Just because I somebody sent this to me and I didn't think much of it. And then I'm watching it this morning. I'm like, oh my God, how did I miss this? I mean, you can't catch everything, but holy smokes.
I'm glad to have you back though, buddy.
We made a connection.
He's their uncle. He's their grandfather. He's their best friend. He all in one.
Is it nice having him right next door now?
Oh man, that's the best thing going. That's the best thing going.
Donnell Stallworth. Chef at a family restaurant. Emphasis on family.
I'll be over more.
Steve Hartman.
More often than you like.
On the road in Pensacola, Florida.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
That's wild. Oh, man.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, there you go. I just wanted to share that with you. I'll share that video up on our Facebook page so that you can see it for yourself. It's pretty fantastic. Again, from the CBS. I think that was from the – I know it's CBS News. I think it was from the CBS Morning Show, I think. But anyway, I'll try and find out on that. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 all look good. Starting to see some minor delays just on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, so be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, now your story has me thinking about gumbo already this morning, too.
Oh, I know. I'm like,
so thanks for that.
That sounds good.
Wonderful. So we got story. The humanitarian story, we got the local angle, and we're all hungry for gumbo. Perfect. Excellent.
Well, Friday is the deadline for the Trump administration to release the Epstein files. That deadline set under the Epstein Files Transparency Act passed by Congress last month. A family member of Rob Reiner is reportedly being questioned in connection with the death of him and his wife. Reiner and his wife were found in their L.A. Brentwood neighborhood home yesterday. He was 78 years old. Indiana Hoosiers quarterback Fernando Mendoza has been named the College Football Top Player of the Year. He's the first Indiana player to win the Heisman Trophy. Mendoza accounted for 39 touchdowns in 13 games and led the Hoosiers to a 13-0 regular season and, of course, a Big Ten championship this year.
Super weird coincidence. We watched Hoosiers yesterday. It's just kind of odd things going on. It doesn't mean anything, but just it's fresh in my mind, obviously. 828 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or doing both, as is often the case, you know, if you're going to move, you got to get both sides. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they're really good at this. You know, when she started doing real estate several years ago, all of us who knew her thought, well, you know, I mean, she certainly can. But, you know, a lot of people try real estate, you know, and some do well, right? Well, gosh, you know, so many years later, what, 6 or 7 years later now, and she is just, it's unbelievable. During the height of the market when it was very easy to sell, and, you know, you put a sign out and it'd be buy it with, you know, cash in 3 hours, 4 offers, they were selling, she and her folks at Leavenrinke Realty were selling over 200 homes a year. Now, over the last 2 years, it's been a little bit lower than that, 175 last year, 2 years ago, and then 165 last year. But this year, it's back up to over 190. In fact, like she was at 182 weeks ago, she told me by the end of the year, it's going to be right around 200. So in a down market, right, people are holding onto their homes, prices are high, interest rates are terrible. She says, we're up 30%. Why? Because they do all the little things. All the things that make for success that are the difference between, you know, sort of people trying real estate and people really being professionals about it, turn into results. In fact, she's told me that one of the things that's been a big difference for them this year particularly is people that have not been able to sell their house with other realtors, 2, 3, 5, even 1, 7 prior realtors, she manages to sell their house and figure out how to make it work and, you know, get them a deal that they can live with and be happy about. So That's the difference. Give her a call. Find out why. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. 829. John, you look kind of flabbergasted by that whole story. It's a wild story, though, right?
It is, but it's so amazing.
It's so Pensacola, too.
It is. It's such a great Pensacola story. I love that it's a great news. It's good news.
Right?
And I'm glad that it was picked up nationally.
I know. I just think it's fantastic. So I love it. 437-1620. The Gulf Power Building is up for sale, apparently, according to Rick Outson. So if you would like to live in, what was the number? 200,000 square feet, 250,000 square feet down on Bayfront with a nice view, lots of windows. You know, if you want to have some parties, you can buy the building. Holy smokes. I think we kind of knew this was coming. But really, you know, office space, post-COVID, FPL. I mean, I wonder, could you convert it to apartments or condos maybe?
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Police in Los Angeles are investigating the deaths of director and actor Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle, found stabbed in their home. Their son Nick, reportedly a person of interest in the case. Rob Reiner was 78. He first became famous on TV in the 1970s as Meathead on All in the Family.
Oh, wait a second, Osh. That's not fair. You're ahead way more than $10.
Listen to the meat-headed college boy over there.
His movies as a director include Stand By Me, Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, and A Few Good Men. A detained person of interest in Saturday's shooting at Brown University is released.
Investigations will tell us whether something is valid or not, whether something needs to be ruled out. It's not a mistake. It's just how investigations work.
Providence, Rhode Island Police Chief Oscar Perez. One of the two students killed is the Browns Republican Club Vice President Ella Cook. 9 people are injured. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it's, a cold start to our morning. 9 degrees and sunny here in Pensacola. Of course, we'll get to our forecast in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. First, a look at our headlines today. Hundreds of volunteers spent their weekend honoring America's veterans at Barrancas National Cemetery. Over 500 people took part in the Wreaths Across America ceremony, placing more than 30,000 wreaths on gravesites across the cemetery. The annual event is held nationwide each December to remember those who served and sacrificed. Organizers say the Pensacola effort has grown dramatically. It began 17 years ago with only 7 wreaths. Similar ceremonies were also held in Fort Walton Beach, Milton, and Spanish Fort. The Okaloosa Sheriff's Office investigating an overnight shooting in Fort Walton Beach. Deputies say they responded to a home on Dates Avenue early in the morning after reports of gunfire. They found 2 gunshot victims, a man and a woman. Both were hurt but are expected to be okay. Investigators say somebody fired multiple rounds through a bedroom window. The suspect or suspects are still unidentified. 2 people from Birmingham, Alabama were critically injured after a crash in Escambia County last Friday. A 2-vehicle crash happened on 29 and Molino Road. A red Lexus reportedly ran a red light and hit a white Chevrolet that was making a turn. The Lexus occupants, a 73-year-old woman and an 86-year-old man, were critically hurt. The woman was airlifted, the man taken to the hospital by ambulance. The occupants in the Chevrolet had only minor injuries. The highway was temporarily closed, but has since reopened. A federal appeals court speeding up a case about Florida's controversial social media law. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals agreed last week to expedite oral arguments in the case challenging House Bill 3, which represents children's access to certain social media platforms. Tech industry groups, including NetChoice and the Computer and Communications Industry Association, requested the expedited timeline. Arguments are scheduled to begin the week of February 23rd. A lower court judge blocked the law in June, saying it likely violated the First Amendment, but an appeals court allowed Florida to enforce it as the legal fight continues. The law prevents kids under 14 from opening social media accounts on platforms like Instagram, Snapchat, or TikTok without having parental consent. The Florida Holocaust Museum is reacting to the deadly shooting in Australia over the weekend. In a statement Yesterday, the museum said the attack is, quote, the latest incident in a global wave of anti-Semitic violence, which continues to plague the Jewish committee, end quote. Community, end quote. Museum officials said that violence like that is born of ignorance, envy, and spite. And they say fighting it requires people of every background to recognize our common humanity and act to protect it. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, David. We've got no accidents to report to you to slow you down this morning. I-10, I-110, all the major arteries are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And it is 32 right now with sunshine here in Pensacola. Let's get our full forecast with Brooke Richardson.
It is going to be very cold through the morning and through your afternoon, starting off with temperatures in the 20s, slowly warming up in the afternoon, highs staying in the upper 40s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, getting cold again, back into the 30s, around 33 degrees for your low tonight. Heading into your Tuesday, sunny skies, highs warming up near 58 degrees, and by Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 49 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 8:35. Our next news at 9. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. And your money now this morning. Markets are up at the opening bell. The Dow's up about 0.2% at 48,568.59. S&P's up just under 0.4% at 68.5075. We've got just under 0.5% this morning for the NASDAQ. That's currently sitting at 23,291.611. 10-year bond rate down at 4.159%. Gold price is up 28.60 at 43.5690. Silver up $1.88 at 63.89. And Bitcoin is up about 650 at 89,313.44. Taking a look at our financial headlines today. California will likely feel the brunt of President Trump's new executive order on artificial intelligence. The order was signed last week. It aims to discourage state governments from regulating AI. It also urges Congress to pass a law circumventing state regulations at a federal level. The order would require the heads of the FCC, FTC, and Department of Justice to challenge states' AI laws. And since 2016, California has passed more laws to regulate AI than any other state. The parent company behind Roomba is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Massachusetts-based iRobot made the announcement on Sunday that they'll be acquired by its main manufacturer, vacuum cleaner maker Shenzhen Pasea. iRobot has sold millions of the cleaning robots since the Roomba was introduced back in 2002. And Zootopia 2 topped the charts over the weekend at the domestic box office. It made over $26 million domestically, coming in ahead of Five Nights at Freddy's 2, which had $19 million, and Wicked for Good with $8 million. It's 8:38. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
10 athletes will face the toughest job interview in fitness that will push past physical and mental breaking points.
You are the fittest of the fit. Only one of you will leave here with an iFit contract for $250,000.
This is when mindset comes in.
Someone will be eliminated.
Pressure is coming down.
This is Trainer Games.
Watch it on Prime Video starting January 8th.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
The
This is Jim Grimes from Southern Media wishing you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
This is Chad Piku with Affiliated Insurance wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Lauren Cutter from Pete Moore Chevrolet wishing you a joyful and magical Christmas filled with love, laughter, and cherished memories.
This is Sally Coe from Pensacola Hardware wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Howard Seaton, marketing consultant with ADX Communications, wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And remember, Santa, it's easier to come through a front door than down a chimney.
Hi, this is Kevin King, operations manager here at Kent Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5. I hope you have a warm and safe Christmas time. Thank you for your support of our radio stations in 2025, and I hope you have a great 2026.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
All right, before we get into the frivolous topic, just briefly, I was re-watching that video from the CBS Evening News, and it looks like it was, in fact, the Navy Boulevard store is where that feel-good story took place. So that's just fantastic. It's on our Facebook page if you want to watch the video for yourself. But just wonderful. The shrimp basket over on Navy Boulevard. All right, so question of the day. No Meg today. Meg's not feeling great, so keep her in your prayers. But I'm sure she'll be back tomorrow. John Pickens' question. Pardon my sneeze. I don't have a little Led Zeppelin drop for sneeze. But you had actually raised this one the other day.
I don't remember, but okay.
Do you tip at a hotel?
Ah.
How much? To whom? Under what circumstances? 437-1620. 437-1620. So you had this conversation in your household, right?
Yeah, we did. We did because I'm seeing a trend right now. Being out in Dallas, I saw a trend where there's a little piece of paper, and it's kind of like taped to the table,
mm-hmm.
that has a little QR code on it.
So you can just like Venmo or something?
You can scan that QR code and tip your people that clean your rooms.
Okay, the maid.
Yeah, it was very just interesting to see that, and I've seen it at more than one hotel. So.
And so do you feel like the maid tip is obligatory?
I don't.
I don't either.
I just don't.
And listen, I am not a professional traveler. I am not if the hotel industry is depending on me for their money for tips, it's going to be, a lean winner. But for me, the reason you tip somebody in a hotel environment is if they perform a service for you. So if somebody were to carry my bags up, because in what circumstance am I traveling with bags I can't handle? I don't know. But imagine, I'm traveling like the high class. And somebody, the bellhop, okay, or whomever, performs me a service. Well, obviously, you tip them because they've done you something nice. I don't have any idea what the going rate is. It's probably like a buck or two a bag. It would be my guess. But I don't really know. I'm just,
You haven't been out in a while, have you?
Exactly. Maybe it's $5 a bag, $10 a bag. I mean, I don't know. I'm probably going to give him, two Jefferson twos, and he's going to feel insulted. So,
be like, what is this?
The way I solve this problem is I just carry my own bags. I don't have to worry about it, right? But, it's like when somebody does a service for you, then I feel like you should, you tip them. But by the way, I feel that way about, restaurants and everything else too, is if I have to go to you in order, then you should be paying me. And if you come to me to order, then I should be paying you.
You're doing
a service, right? If I'm telling you what the order is and then you're like, how much do you want to tip me? I'm like, I don't know. I can press those buttons too. Anyway, but that's a whole different subject. So 437-1620, do you tip at the hotel? If so, whom do you tip and how much? Do you tip? 437-1620. Gotten a lot of texts in already on this. So let's see. If the bell, $5 to the cleaning lady, as long as they didn't screw with any of my stuff. Now, if I'm in the room longer, like I remember when we were at the RNC and the DNC for, it was the DNC for a week, or the RNC for a week. If you kind of, I don't know if they serve you, like over time and you interact with them and they give you things, and I could see it then being a little bit different. But even then, I'm probably my tip would be insulting. Like, hey, thanks for the week of service. Here's a five, sir. That's not enough. I'm probably terrible at this. Somebody says, $5 the cleaning lady as long as they didn't screw with anything or if the bellhop is Tim Roth. Nice. Little four rooms callback. I like that. A little obscure. I'll take it. No, I do not tip at hotels, somebody says, 437-1620. If a person actually does something for me beyond the job, I will. And that's historically, that's what tipping meant, is something above right. and beyond. And somehow we got into the habit, and it's across the board. There are so many jobs where the tip is expected, that if you don't give a tip, then you're insulting them. And that's whether it's bartenders or whether it's waiters and waitresses or, you know, there's all kinds of scenarios. Like on the cruise, I always think it's funny because on a cruise, it's like you are expected to tip this much, you know, and like, well, yeah, okay.
Well, they have the required tips.
I know.
Too.
Just charge it, you know, make it part of the salary. It's so weird. Let's see. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Files. We'll come back to this in a second. John?
Yes, right here. Barberry Plumbing is your traffic sponsor. When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner. Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782. Not seeing any accidents to slow you down right now. I-10, I-1, 10, 90, 98, Highway 29, they're all flowing smoothly. John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives. And also, I've been here, you know, working with you for 2 years, and my tip jar is still empty.
Mine too.
Well, I'm doing a service for you.
Am I not doing a service for you?
Well, you're just talking. I mean, still empty.
You bring in your tip jar, I'll bring in mine. We'll see what happens. Here's a nickel. Yep. Don't spend it all in one place. Discontinued pennies. Trump dollars. Oh, my God. We haven't gotten to that story. That's a later. I probably don't have time to do that today. Okay. 437-1620. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. About 300 on the lot. They sell about half of them every month, so they're always changing inventory. That means that every week they're bringing in, 40 or 50 new cars? Every single week, week after week. That means, you know, you check today, you check again in a week, you know, it's very... And the reason I say stop by there first is because they have so many different ones that you can really try a bunch of different things. You know, it's very easy to assume that I'm going to buy this, or you think you know what you like, or you like that manufacturer, but things change. You know, maybe the reliability is not what it once was. Maybe the features aren't what they once were. Or maybe just, you know, there's something you might find out you like better by driving it. On the other hand, maybe you drive a couple of things, you're like, yep, that's why I don't want that. Okay, fine. But you do that from experience, because trust me, making a car purchase is a big life investment, and you want to be happy with it. You don't want to be regretting that you didn't try enough of them. Well, at Frontier, you can try a bunch. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the question of the day, which is, do you tip at hotels? And how much and to whom? And my answer is, and because you know what? I'm afraid I'm stupid about this. I mean, I genuinely am thinking that I'm probably insulting people. I don't know any better. It's like, you know, when I was a waiter, okay, there are some people that really just don't know how to tip. There are some people that are jerks, okay? But there are some people that really don't know, you know, and they order a $50 meal and they leave you $2 and they think they've done you a nice thing. And they genuinely don't realize, and there's no way to educate them.
$2?
No, I'm saying there are people who really don't know.
Right.
You know, and of course, the standard on tipping restaurants has changed, where like now 20% is almost an insult these days. Like, you're expected to give 20% minimum. 25 is more like you've done a good job. And I mean, you didn't know that? It's changed.
No, yeah. I was still with the old system.
15 is not okay. Not what you think it was. Anyway, the point is, there are some people, and I put myself in this category, I genuinely don't know what the norm is. And I will ask, by the way, I'm the kind of guy, and maybe I'm weird, but I will ask people, hey, do you normally get tipped? And I know they're very reluctant to say, but I don't want to hurt somebody's economy, and I want to benefit them and do what they're expecting, and I want to be a good customer. And I will ask if I'm not sure, which makes me extra weird, but there you go. 437-1620, somebody says, so if you don't see them, then I guess you wouldn't tip them. Okay, I mean, I suppose that's true, but then again, if they did their job, you wouldn't see them. Because you'd never interact with them, right? Somebody says, I used to travel a lot in my job. I was always told that it was $1 per person per day. Love the show. Keep up the good. Oh, y'all are so sweet. I was told that tips were meant to ensure prompt service, as it's an acronym, tips. 437-1620.
I was wondering.
All right, so we got somebody says, have each listener mail in a nickel by the end of the month as a tip for the news, news radio
Sweet.
Morning crew service this year. You can Venmo me at.
I accept right. PayPal,
yeah,
too.
Right. Oh, my God. 849 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
It will be an honor, sir.
Hi, I'm Tom DeFranco with DeFranco Gas, thanking all our customers for a great year. We'd like to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from all of us at DeFranco Gas.
Your beard doesn't have one of those things that goes over your ears.
Well, that's because it's real, just like I'm really Santa Claus.
Hi, I'm Steve Taylor, and I usually hang out in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. I'd like to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year.
Beautiful, Clark.
Oh, talk about pissing your money away. Oh, I hope you kids see what a silly waste of resources this was.
Oh man, the comments. I'm still getting comments. Some person says, listener in Denver, my dad actually listens to the show sometimes, and he says that look in the hotels out here. The restaurants are paying their waitstaff $20-$25 an hour plus tips. Many waiters are making, you know, plus $70,000 a year. I think actually, you know, if you work at a nice restaurant in Pensacola, you make, you know,
yeah,
you know, make a couple hundred bucks a night. Is not that uncommon. And again, a better restaurant. I'm in a good mood kind of hour here. We had the story about the shrimp basket. It's up on our Facebook page. You want to see it for yourself. Meanwhile, Ashley Hofberger, the commissioner for District 4 and the board chair for the Board of County Commissioners, had the last meeting of the year on Thursday, and she did something kind of interesting. You know, we had the Winterfest folks were there, and they were singing, and that was kind of cool. I actually play a little bit of it.
One, two, three, Christmas time.
They showed up as the Peanuts characters, as opposed to just the elf or the Grinch and Santa. Yeah, so they were singing, and that was great, and then the Peppermint Patty.
Hi, my name is Lucy Van Pelt, of course.
I'm sorry,
here
Lucy.
With Charlie Brown and a couple of other blockheads from our brand new trolley, and we have been on the hunt for the best Christmas tree in all of Pensacola to cure Charlie Brown's Christmas blues. Charlie Brown, come on, you had one job. Now Charlie Brown is going to introduce our friend that we brought today. Say it.
Oh, Santa Claus is coming.
I love that Lucy's, you had one job, Charlie Brown. Come on.
One.
It's just adorable. No, but Ashley, they got to the kind of the commissioner comments portion in the beginning, and this is something I don't think I have ever heard a chairman or a member of the Board of County Commissioners do. Listen to this.
This board, thank you. Thank you for a wonderful year of heated but productive discussions. I value the fact that we don't always agree, and I am grateful for the passionate way that each one of us represents our districts.
Now, if it had been just that, I wouldn't have bothered probably playing it. But she did an individual Christmas card for every one of them. I mean, a verbal Christmas card.
Mr. Barry, I appreciate your skill for working with numbers and your ability to explain it in a way that our community can easily understand. Commissioner May, I appreciate your consistency and your passion surrounding affordable housing, accessible health care, and safer neighborhoods. Commissioner Stroberger, I am grateful we are newbies on the board together. I have enjoyed learning alongside of you, and I appreciate how you highlight and support our military families. And Commissioner Kohler, thank you for your leadership as board chair this past year. It's a difficult position, and you did it with grace and full of heart. So thank you for setting that example.
That's awesome.
Okay, so I have always been a person who just a little side eye at the idea that what we need is a lot of diversity in your groups, you know, because bringing people with different perspectives and different demographics in makes a difference. I've always been a meritocracy only kind of thing. But you think that would have ever happened if there wasn't a female board chair? I mean, and Ashley Hoffberger is a girl's girl, right? She is a girl. She is the girliest of girls. You hear her giggling and kind of that's just her. And I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. It's you can never, ever in your wildest imagination imagine Stephen Barry sitting on the dais or, I mean, maybe Mike. You know, Mike is a little bit more this way, you know, but certainly not Lumen or name off any of the people that have sat in those chairs over the years. Doing that and publicly praising their fellow commissioners for the things they like about them and the skills that they bring to the job, it's just, it wouldn't happen. So is the world a different place? Is the room a different place? Is the board a different place when you have a woman there? Yes, it's different because men and women are different. And it's delightful, honestly, to see. In fact, she went on and said, I'll play it in just a second, but she had some other words after that. I'll get to it in a second. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like 98, 90, Highway 29, I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. And there has been some tension, you know, over the year with her and some of the other commissioners, which is fine. That's normal. That's how politics works. And particularly with her and Wes Moreno, too. You remember, she was kind of calling for his job performance to be evaluated. But here's what she said at the end of the year meeting last week.
Allison and Wes, thank you for being the glue that holds this board together. I know the five of us are drastically different, and your days range from calming chaos to milestone celebrations for our community. I appreciate the public discussions and the out-of-box ideas that are coming forward, and thank you so much for working through all of this with us.
I mean, it's just nice. It's just kind of delightful. Meanwhile, Wes Moreno, when he had a chance to talk, he talked about, I had not heard that this had happened, so I thought this was pretty wild. You know, the county runs the jail. For years and years and years since the sheriff, you know, got taken basically by the county from the sheriff. It's weird. We're weird like that. Most of the time it's the sheriff. Like in Santa Rosa County, the sheriff runs the jail. But Escambia County is in charge of the jail, and the sheriff does not want it back, I do not think. Has never. Anyway, but Wes Moreno talking about something that happened the prior weekend. So this is actually about a week and a day ago.
This past weekend was a busy, busy weekend for county staff. The other thing that the public doesn't see a lot of times is when you wake up early Thursday morning and you have some issues going on in corrections that have to be dealt with, and we dealt with them. And then you wake up a little bit later, and then we have a tree fall on a backflow preventer that knocks all the water out to the jail.
Uh-oh.
And you can't find a part anywhere in town. You call all of our contractors we do business with.
Right, and you just, I mean, it's the kind of part where you need that part. You can't just make do with something.
We got Jamie Higdon with Public Works rolling. We got Robbie Freeman with Facilities rolling. You got Rich Powell trying to handle the chaos at the jail with no water. But they all came together as a good team and worked together. We finally were able to bring it back online. And by the time we got done with that, we had power failure at the base center. And so we dove into that, and we're able to bring them back online. And then we had a bit of a plane crash at the airport, which we EMS responded to. Just things that happen throughout the weekend, sometimes throughout the overnight, that the general public doesn't always see, but our staff is always there. They come together. They work well together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's no big deal. Water's out at the jail. Power's out at the base center. Plane crash. You know, whatever. Just stuff. Normal stuff. No
just
big
a
deal.
Normal day.
Yeah, just whatever. You know, I love that he kind of goes through some of that because it's a reminder of all the things that happen around us that, you know, as he said, we're never even aware of. that they work so hard to fix. And it's one of the reasons why, like, I give our politicians, when they deserve it, I give them a hard time. But one of the things about the staff that I have almost universally experienced is that whether it's Escambia staff or Santa Rosa staff or, you know, Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Milton staff, you know, I give Milton politicians hell, but the staff, they are almost across the board fantastic. And that's why I get annoyed, actually, at the politicians when the politicians, I don't think, are treating them well enough from the dais or embarrassing them or calling them out or criticizing them. And I think, oh, man, you have no idea how to manage people, and you should not be doing that. Because the staff, usually they work their tails off. They work hard. They endure a lot. They don't always get treated the best by the public, you know. So anyway, I share Wes's heart for appreciating the staff and caring about them. And anyway, also it was great to see everybody out at the parade on Friday, packed. Oh my gosh, the parade in Pensacola was huge. Or sorry, that's right, on Saturday. The parade on Saturday was massive. So great to see everybody out there. We'll see you tomorrow.